Well, that's a lovely song. Ties in with one of our themes this morning very nicely indeed. So if you have your Bible, please do turn with me to this first passage. And we do encourage you to bring your Bible. We are at this sixth book. And let's see, helps to turn it on. Last week we looked at Numbers 27 and the account of Moses being told that he would not enter the land, but that one would be appointed, his name Joshua. And actually, if you have your Bible open, if you just glance back a page to the end of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 34, the last chapter records the death of Moses. Just follow or listen carefully. I'll read a couple of verses. Verse 5, "And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor, but to this day no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses." And Joshua chapter 1 begins after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. The Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan. People come and people go. Leaders come and leaders go, but God's purposes continue. Things change, people change, but God's purposes are unchanging. Moses was gone. Moses was dead. And Joshua was raised up. And the work was to continue. A new era had begun for the people of God. And here's the thing, and it's an important thing. Whilst they were not to be nostalgically looking back to the great days when Moses was there, nor were they to be forgetting what had happened in those days and to where God was leading. Sometimes we can fall into that trap, can't we? We look back to the good old days, the great days, the glory days, so we think. But there were problems then as well. Warren Wiersbe makes a comment. Warren Wiersbe, some of you may know that name, a very respected Christian leader from the States. He said this, "Over the years, I've seen churches and parachurch ministries flounder and almost destroy themselves in futile attempts to embalm the past and escape the future. Their theme song was, as it was in the beginning, so shall it ever be, world without end." And there's a lesson there. And I say to you today, do not be quick to criticize or complain about a leader because he or she makes some changes. Don't be quick to complain or criticize. There are things that change, but of course there are things that never change. And this morning, as we come to look at this first chapter of Joshua, we look at how Joshua was commissioned by the Lord. What we're going to do is to simply draw out some, what I believe, are unchanging principles, which were true not only in Joshua's today. But here's the remarkable thing, are true today for us. Post-Calvary, post-resurrection, 21st century Christians, these principles are still true today. That is the remarkable thing about the Word of God. In the midst of a world which is almost chomping at the bit to confine the Bible to the dustbin, we believe that the Word of God is the Word of God. We believe it's inspired of God, and we believe as it is correctly interpreted and taught that there are unchanging principles there. Gospel principles, Christ-centered principles to lead and encourage Christian people in the way that they ought to go. These people had been wandering for 40 years through disobedience, through complacency, through half-heartedness. I think some of us are wandering, and we need to be careful. When I look at the attendance at some prayer times, I say to myself, people are wandering. People are wandering. So there's a word here. There's a word from the Lord for all of us as individuals and also as a church family. As we are called and exhorted by the Word of God to enter into the promises that we have in Christ Jesus. So what are some of these unchanging principles that came from the Lord? Well, the first one is this: be assured. If you look at these verses, look at verse 3, for example. What was Joshua to be assured of? Well, verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot. God had promised to lead his people into this land. And God is a God who is true to his promises. There are certain things that God cannot do. The children sometimes are taught in the little stories. There are some things that God cannot do. You know that, of course. God cannot lie. God cannot turn his word on its head. And God had promised to lead his people into the land. And God says, I am going to give you every place. So there's the assurance, Joshua, I want you to be assured that my promises are dependable. If only you depend upon them, you will discover that I am a faithful God. And that's a word for us. If only we would dare to trust God and stop listening to the world that says you cannot trust God. If only we would trust God, we will also discover that he can be depended upon. And Joshua is also called here to be assured not only of the promises of God, but the presence of God. And this is mentioned on a number of verses. Verse 5, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 9, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And Joshua needed this assurance. Because remember, sometimes we lift these Bible people to almost Superman kind of status in our heads, and we think that they're without any flaws. These were people who needed encouragement, just like all of us. Every single one of us here this morning needs a word of encouragement. There was no way under the sun that Joshua was going to achieve what he had been called to do. There was no way that he was going to be able to enter the land and defeat the enemy and take the inheritance in his own strength. No way. But God says, Joshua, I'm going to be with you wherever you go. Is that a wee word for someone here this morning? Possibly it is. Wherever you go, brother and sister in Christ, wherever you go into this coming week, into this coming term, wherever you go, I am with you. Some of you need to hear that this morning. As you and I seek to serve the Lord and step into the autumn-winter work, you and I need to be reminded of the promises of God that can be depended upon and the presence of the Lord. He will be with us. If we ever lose our assurance about this, Christian brother or sister, then we are going to struggle big time, because we're going to be trying to do something in our own strength, and it just won't work. Be assured. Be assured. Here's the second thing. Be strong. And it's interesting the number of times that this exhortation comes out. Notice it's there in verse 6. Be strong and courageous. It's there in verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. It's there in verse 9. Be strong and courageous. And it's there in verse 18. Be strong and courageous. Joshua was called to be strong and courageous for a couple of obvious reasons. The strength that he's called to be strong in is not something that's within his own heart, within his own soul. I don't know if you've ever had to do something, and even maybe something in the church, or you've been asked to do something and you feel, oh goodness, I'm not sure I'm really able to do this. And you maybe try to psych yourself up for it, or do something that's very human-centered in order to prepare yourself for it, and it all flops. Not surprising. We are very vulnerable people. And we need to be strong, not in ourselves, but in the Lord. In the Lord Jesus. Ephesians chapter 6 says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to take your stand against the devil's schemes. Joshua was going to step across that river and face tremendous enemies. He was going to be in the thick of battle. And Christian brother and sister, the battles that we fight are not literal physical battles. Nor are we called to, as it were, take the geographical land in the name of Jesus. But we are called to see the kingdom go forward, and we are called to fight battles in the spiritual realms. How on earth can we ever do that? How on earth can we ever stand against the devil's schemes? Many people today do not believe in a devil. They scoff at the idea of personified evil. Well, they can scoff if they want. They are the ones whose eyes are being blinded by the very one whom they claim to not believe in. There is such a thing as good. There is such a thing as evil. We believe in a personal God, and we believe in a personal devil. And the devil is out to do his utmost to pull down the church, to pull down Christian believers, to pull down Christian families. And we need to be awake to that. And there are people in this community who peddle things, peddle drugs, and maybe carry drink to young, underage people. We need to be aware of those things and pray against those things and pray against those people, that God would undermine them, so that we do not lose a generation for the kingdom of God. We are called to be strong. We are called to be courageous. Brother and sister, do not be naive. You need the full armor of Christ upon you if you are going to be able to stand for Christ in this day and age. Sometimes we sing that hymn, it's a lovely hymn. Fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength and Christ thy right. But actually, Ephesians 6 reminds us that we are to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Yes, I believe in the Christian race that we have our part to play. We don't just sit back and wait for something to be zapped from heaven. We have to make our effort, not in the sense of our salvation, of course, but we have to make an effort to read our Bibles and to be disciplined and all of that. But ultimately, folks, you will only know victory. You will only know victory when it comes from the Lord. You will only know the victory when the Lord touches you and anoints you afresh and enables you to be strong in Him. Are you knowing something of that victory? Or are you still wandering in the wilderness? The third thing that we have here is that we are to be obedient. As we said last week, obedience does matter. Again, we live in an age where sometimes you would be drawn to think that it's not really important nowadays. But obedience does matter. And obedience to the Word of God matters. Look at verse 7 and 8. These are probably some of the best known verses actually in the whole book of Joshua. How many of you, young people, older people, maybe you've been at a camp or you remember being at a camp or you have a little Bible sitting in the house and a friend wrote these verses in the Bible. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Prosperous, not necessarily in a material way. We do not preach a prosperity gospel in that sense. But maybe the Lord will make you prosperous materially. Who knows? But the prosperity here is not so much money in the bank as spiritual resources in the bank of your soul. I cannot emphasize enough this matter that we touch on here. We don't spend a long time on it. But again, can I say to you, you need to read the Bible. You need to be reading the Bible. And without being legalistic about it, a Christian should be reading his or her Bible every day. I know some people, I don't see that there's any big problem with this. We live in a technical age, and You maybe know better than I do that there are some apps. Bible Gateway, for example, has a lovely app with all sorts of aids for reading the Bible. In fact, if you want, you will even find on that app someone who will read the Bible for you. All you have to do is sit and follow in your own Bible. And maybe that's what some of you need to do. Just to refresh you. Maybe that will be a source of encouragement. I don't see any particular problem with that. But you need to be taking in the Word of God. You need to be reading the Bible. Find a time, find a place that suits you and begin to take in the Word. But here's the other thing. It is so possible. All of us can identify with this. Have you ever said, okay, I need to read the Bible? You've opened your Bible, you've read a few verses, and it's kind of just shot over you, and a part of you says, well, that's it, done for the day. We've all been there, I think. That's not going to be of much use. Better than nothing. But there needs to be a moment where something of the Word touches your heart. Where it warms your heart, where it challenges your heart, where it says, look, there's a wee word for me today. And that's where meditation comes in. Christian meditation. I'm not talking about some weird and wonderful other type of meditation where you empty your mind and all sorts of stuff might come in. I'm not talking about that, of course. But the Word of God encourages meditation. It is commanded here in Joshua chapter 1. Meditate on it. It's commanded in Psalm 1 and verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Why do some of you come away cold from the word? Thomas Watson, one of the Puritans, famously said this. Much wisdom in this. Listen to this. The reason we come away so cold from reading the word is because we do not warm ourselves at the fire of meditation. Lovely picture. As the winter season comes upon us, hopefully not too soon, some of you will have the pleasure of maybe sitting at a fire and warming yourself. And folks, you and I need to sit at the word of God. I'm not talking about hours. It might even just be for 5 or 10 minutes, but to sit and to meditate. Maybe there's a little phrase, allow it to come into your soul. Maybe there's a command, allow it to come into your soul. Maybe there's a promise, allow it to warm your heart. Meditate on the word of God. Don't just fly through it at the rate of knots. And then, of course, we need to obey the word. Think in every line that you read, somebody once said that God is speaking to you. That could transform your Bible reading, just like that. It's not just a word for a distant age. This is a word for you today, sitting in Kilkeel. And apply it, obey it, live it out. Do not just hear the word, but allow it to be worked out in your life. The classroom, on the farm, the building site, the harbour, the factory, the school, the sports field. Be obedient to the word of God. And the last thing is this. Be united. The backdrop here of this account from verse 12 towards the end of the chapter is that the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. You can actually read the backdrop of this in Numbers 32. Remember that little verse, be sure your sin will find you out? Remember a year or so ago I taught the children about that. Easy way to remember it, it is. It's Numbers 32, verse 23. 3223. And Moses said to these people, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half tribe, basically, they were all on the east side of the river. They're going to cross, and they say, look, this is a good place to live. Can we live here? And Moses says, okay. But whenever the battle comes, you men are not going to be sitting here. You're going to have to get stuck in with the rest of them. So you will have to cross, and you will have your battle, and then you can come back home. And it is a lovely picture, not only of the call to be wholehearted, but the call to be united. All were to be committed and united in entering into the inheritance that God had given. And there's a challenge for every local church here and every Christian to stand together with your brother and sister in the work of the Lord, to make every effort, as the writer to Ephesians says in Ephesians 4, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Be united. Don't let some little bitterness come in between you and another brother or sister. If there's anything like that, go quietly, discreetly, get it sorted out so that together. I really enjoy the times when local believers get together. United Teaching Week, United Prayer Meeting, last Friday of the month. Next one is Friday coming week, 30th of September, 7 a.m. behind me here in the choir room. And you know, sometimes, this is not meant to be a scorching criticism, sometimes some Christians can be so parochial that they cannot see beyond their own church. but we have brothers and sisters. Let's have that spirit of unity, that where we have a brother and sister who knows the Lord Jesus in a saving way, we recognize that and we stand alongside each other for the work of the gospel. And the last thing I say as I finish, and I'm going to be very brief in this, it would be possible for someone to come in here maybe and look at that screen and say, okay, that's the sermon. Be assured, be strong, be obedient, be united, and say, well, he's just telling them to be these things. Here's the morals for this week. That is absolutely the opposite of what I'm saying. I do not endeavor ever, ever to preach a moralistic sermon, because moralism is not the gospel. The gospel is a Christ-centered, grace-centered message that says you're a sinner, you need to be saved by the grace of God, you need to come to know Christ. And once you know Christ, then you are called to be assured in the promises and the presence of God. You're called to be strong in the Lord. You're called to be obedient. You're called to be united. Folks, it is only by the grace of God that we can be any of these things. Only by grace. Only by grace. Holiness by grace. Not just by our efforts. Entering into the inheritance that we have by the grace of God. Yes, we have to make many an effort, but ultimately it's by grace. So may God help us as we step into these things. In these coming days, let us pray. Father, we thank you for the tremendous story of Joshua. We pray, Lord, not only for the word today, but for the word over these coming weeks and months, that we will be challenged and moved to enter in to what you have for us. Lord, come by your Spirit and move us. We humbly ask in our Savior's name. Amen.